Okay, this is our interview with Mr. Floyd Lewis.
Okay. First of all, were you drafted or did you enlist for World War I?
Did I enlist? No, I was drafted.
And when was that?
Matter of fact, they left my name off the list when I was all set to go in the paper, and I went down to headquarters and told them. I said, I'm supposed to go tomorrow or what day after, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And he says, why aren't you on the list? I said, no. Well, he said, well, we can add your name. I said, well, do so, because I want to go. It was that way. I don't know why they left my name off. I had definite plans to join the parade.
And where did you train?
What?
Where did you train?
Where did I?
Train. Did you go to Camp Custer?
Camp Custer, yes. We had a hurry-up campaign of training, too. Up early in the morning, and of course, Army is that way, but it seems they pushed us through all those things because we were the last contingent to join, to add to the 85th Division that had been forming, gathering all through the winter.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you train there?
How long where?
How long did you train at Camp Custer?
About 1 month. Yeah. We left New York July 22nd. Yeah, at the best of my recollection. So we trained about 1 month.
Did you feel prepared to go off to war after 1 month of training?
Yes, I thought well enough prepared. Probably had a lot to learn. Yeah, you never have enough, I suppose, but I was glad to be on the move.
What did you think your orders would be after you finished training?
One can conjecture, but of course you don't know anything much.
Yeah, where did you think you would be going?
Oh, to France.
And after you left Camp Custer, you went to New York?
Yes.
And then where did you go?
Then we, after a week at Camp Mills on Long Island, we boarded ship and went to England by way of, went to Liverpool, England, through the St. George's Channel there, between Ireland and Scotland, and down to Liverpool.
Did you continue training in England?
Yes, we had probably a month of training in England.
Did you have any impressions of England?
Yes, the impressions of the countryside, it seemed to me, was divided up into small sectors of farms, each with its own produce or products, mm-hmm. giving a different color. It's sort of an interesting patchwork of, although we weren't flying, but that's what I observed from on the train.
What was your training like in England?
In England?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were long marches, for one thing. Many of the marches were, and some with gas mask drill, and full pack, and we had the ambulance following the long train of marching to pick up those that fell by the wayside, and some did, especially one fellow in our outfit had asthma, and pretty bad, and he was one of the fellows that fell off, but he went all the way.
He did make it to Russia then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But long hikes on the dusty summer, dusty roads of England is part of the experience there.
When did you first realize that you were that you would be going to Russia instead of France?
When we were probably pretty near to the North Sea.
Right,
it began to be rumored around that we were going to Russia.
Did you know if you were going to Siberia or to Archangel?
We had no idea where. But it looked like it was going to be a northern trip.
Yeah. So you found out through rumors.
Yeah. Of course, the direction of the ship was something in itself.
Yeah. What did you know about Russia at that time as you were leaving England?
I knew very little about Russia. Except that they'd had the war with Japan and they were probably a pretty slow going outfit under the Tsar, and the Japanese got the best of them way over there on the other side, so didn't think too much about it.
Did you know anything about Bolshevism?
About what?
Bolshevism.
Bolshevism. No, I didn't. I don't think it had made much of an impression at that time, which was right at a critical time. It was about to be. The revolution was soon to follow when they separated, when they withdrew from the Allies.
Were you given any lectures or information to prepare you for what you'd encounter in Russia?
No. It was kept pretty secret. We didn't get any special equipment there, I don't think. Aboard ship or... I don't... Wait a minute. We had one inkling that they had us turn in England. They had us turn in our regular American rifles and gave us another kind of a long, much longer rifle and a peculiar bayonet. I think that transition occurred in England, and it made us wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It was also rumored that our division was in France, and we were wondering what we were doing in England.
Yeah.
Is our with a our division had gone to France. Of course, we couldn't see it because all the people that we were surrounded with, our officers and so forth, we were just a large family traveling together, and
yeah.
What happened to the others was something else.
Do you remember the first time that you had any kind of an official word about what the expedition was going to be? Was it when you came into Russia that you first...
We knew we were landing in Russia. We didn't know why or what. I know that looking over the rail at some of the people, they were down there on the dock. One fellow evidently wasn't supposed to be there. He got booted out of there, and I mean booted. But... is this thing going yet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but that's we stayed on board ship for a couple of days, I believe. That's normal procedure, I guess, until arrangements are made, and of course our ship was thought to be some kind of a cattle boat. Everybody was coming down sick. And our flu, as we learned, was hitting. I know the first sergeant came down and at sick call about 9 o'clock in the morning, and more of them responded to sick call, and he was an old army sergeant. He voiced out, said, any of you fellows are just laying down here, he says, you're going to get double KP and plenty of it, and such as that. But in my own case, my buddy, as it was stayed in his hammock. The British ship accommodates with hammocks for beds, and you have to climb up to get into your hammock, which is an acrobatic affair to start with. And he was staying in his bunk, and he stayed there. He didn't want to come down to eat or anything. He cared hardly to talk. I said to the sergeant, I said, "We've got one fellow up here that isn't responding and should, but he can't. He's too sick." And so he right away got the fellows rounded up, and they got him out of there. And he didn't know when he came off the ship. Matter of fact, he woke up in a Russian hospital, came to, so on.
What ship was it that you sailed to Russia on?
What ship?
Yeah, what was the name of it?
To Russia. The Porto Lisboa. It was supposed to be a ship captured by the British, I guess. Yeah, Porto Lisboa going to Russia.
How many ships were in the convoy? Do you remember?
Well, the convoy going across the Atlantic was 13.
From England to Archangel.
I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't venture a guess. I'm trying to think if were there other ships?
Because there was the Somali.
The what?
Somali.
S-O-M-A-L-I. The Tidius.
Somali.
The
Tidius.
Tidius.
And
the Nagoya.
Yeah, Nagoya.
I'm naming a different one, am I?
Yeah. So that's around four at least.
See, we came from Russia on the Prince Heinrich. That was a German capture. Mm-hmm. And it, I don't know what other name it may have had, but that was, those labels, some of them were still up as it was in German hands. Prince Heinrich Bad. I had studied some German, so I could make out, most anyone could. Porto Lisboa occurs to me, it was the ship I went on, and Prince Heinrich coming back, and that's the way it was.
Okay. When you were talking about the epidemic of Spanish flu that was on your ship,
yeah,
what kind of medical treatment did those stricken with it receive?
Well, I couldn't tell you that. They went to so-called hospital on the ship, and what kind of treatment they got, I don't know. Of course, they were up against it probably with the crowds reporting for sick call. It must have been quite a congested for one ship to handle all those cases, because I watched them unload, and one after another was either having to be helped or carried off, and so on.
Do you have any idea if there were enough doctors or medicine?
I wouldn't know that.
You said before that your buddy was ill?
What?
That your buddy was ill,
yes,
on the ship. Do you remember a doctor coming to see him when he was in his hammock?
No.
He was just up there sick for several
days? No, he just was laying there.
And he had no treatment for
and
several
days? It was in a sort of a tucked away place that we were billeted, not billeted, but quartered. And I don't know, he may have died there, as far as I know. But I decided that something had to be done, and soon. So I, even though I was just a private, you know, and you aren't too far, too forward about making your presence known, especially as a youngster like that way. In the army just a couple of months and began to tell a sergeant anything, especially this fellow.
Okay. When did you first arrive in Russia?
The 4th of September. Mm-hmm. You're cross-examining me.
I'm sorry if it seems like that. What were your first impressions of it, of Russia?
Well, first impressions are stands of trees. These not pine, but spruce, tall standing spruce trees. Well, we had plenty to do with that too, as you probably will get to later.
Okay, where did you go first?
Where did we go?
Yeah,
I was in being in headquarters company. That doesn't mean anything special, but we went right into the city. Mm-hmm. The city was there, the docks were here, and the city was right there on the hill. It was a slight upgrade, and it really overlooked the city, overlooked the bay, the White Bay, I think it's called.
Do you remember on the first day that you landed, was it September 5th, the parade?
Yes.
Do you remember if there was a parade in the city of the American troops that first morning that you got off the boat?
No.
You don't remember that? Okay.
How long did you stay in Archangel?
In Archangel, we were there from, you see, we were doing interior guard duty. Mm-hmm. Being routed out at any time of the day on that 24-hour shift, and but to any kind of so-called action, we had a little affair going on with a what they call the White Russians, mm-hmm. Being trained by the British. They were on our side, presumably, and but when it came, when they had their training and their uniforms and all, they were ordered to take a place in the position on the front. They rebelled. They wouldn't come out of the fairly large white building. I think they called it the White Barracks or something. And so we were ordered out. Headquarters company was ordered out to surround the building and fire in on it on occasion all one afternoon, and so bangity bang it was mortars and rifle and pretty soon after some hour or so of firing, they flew a white flag at the doorway, and that brought on a ceasefire. That was one incident. But long and
did they go to the front then? After that, after they?
I don't know how they settled it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea why they rebelled or anything?
Well, yes, I was in communication with a private family. I think. This young lady was wanting to learn to speak English. Now, wait a minute. And I wanted to learn to speak Russian. No, it was German. German had something to do with it. I wanted to learn to speak German, and she wanted to learn to speak English. Mm-hmm. And of course, German or English from me, and. I didn't know much German, really, but probably it was more of the English and Russian that we wanted to get back and forth. So I just got this impression to the effect that Well, could you blame them? They were being ordered to go to the front to fire on their own relatives. And that was their answer. That was the only angle that I heard from as to the why and what for. But we, along in February, the middle of February, we were ordered to go to the front. And so we as a unit, our pioneer platoon of headquarters company, packed and took a train south to the front. And there we built blockhouses out of these tall spruce trees, cutting them down, trimming them, and building these blockhouses with logs laid together 4 feet thick, which was supposed to stop most any firing of bullets, an ordinary rifle fire or machine gun. And inside there was quarters for living, for a squad to take over that station, you see. These were down along the railroad front, mm-hmm. on either side.
Okay.
There was, incidentally, there was the shell fire landing in around us, and their accuracy with artillery was such that they could they could cause the British with their military mounted artillery to back up, because they apparently were very shrewd and well trained on their own artillery. This was the Bolsheviks firing on us.
What I want to know, I guess, is what exactly was the Pioneer Platoon of Headquarters Company?
What was it?
Yeah.
It was a semi-engineering unit.
Mm-hmm.
They said that if we had gone to France, we probably would have laid barbed wire entanglement or nipped the enemy's barbed wire entanglement to pave the way for the charges over no man's land.
You were trained for combat, though, also, weren't you?
What's that?
Were you trained for combat
also?
Oh,
yes. Yeah, we went through all that training.
Okay. Did you stay in Archangel then until February when you went to the front?
Yes.
And how much did you know of the purpose of the mission while you were in Archangel?
What did we know of our mission?
Mm-hmm.
Not much. The Russians were said to have posted a sign, why are you here? And the Americans had no answer. We don't know why.
Okay.
Of course, in a general sense, there was the word to the effect that the British had a lot of stores of munition and food and so forth that they did not want to have fall into the hands of the Bolsheviks. And so we were up there to guard the supplies. That was the best answer that we had heard.
Did you ever see those supplies?
What?
Did you ever see those supplies?
See them? Well, I suppose we indulged in them. We ourselves ate from the British. They didn't understand the American appetite. But yes, we. You're putting a good question forth, though. We didn't see any supplies.
I'm especially interested in the munitions.
To warrant a whole regiment to go up there. There was not only the Americans, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sampling of all the Allies, the Italians, the French, the Belgians, I'm quite sure, Canadians, Canadians with their artillery, and a lot of the Britishers were those that had been on the front and got shot up, but were still have recovered and were worthy of military service some more. But they were sent up there because it was the fighting was not so heavy as on the Western Front.
Was that actually the case?
It was, I can't say, I can't speak, because to my impression it was intermittent. There was plenty of boys were lost up there through fighting and freezing and so forth. But I wouldn't venture a word on that, because I didn't see enough of the front myself to put out such a statement. But I did see the Red Cross sleighs arriving at Archangel after the Battle of Shankarst, which took place in January, right in the middle of the winter, a couple of months after the armistice had been signed on the Western Front. So that was a disappointing note, that the armistice, of course, didn't affect our theater of operation.
Okay. What were your duties in Archangel besides interior guard duty? Did you have any others?
Well, duties, I don't know that we had any, except it's just, of course, our artillery, our regiment was made up of all these battalions, the 1-pounders and the band. The band was part of our company. Our duty, as far as duty is concerned, no specific duty. Guard duty was it. They had all sorts of places to guard, like headquarters and hospitals and anything military had to be guarded. So you got off one guard duty assignment, and first thing you knew, you were on another one. And not all for naught either, because I definitely had a man walk in on my post and called a halt, and he didn't know, seemed to have an answer, so he turned and went the other direction. It was in early morning hours or night, anyhow. And that guard duty was something anywhere, because you wake up at, get routed out at 2:00 in the morning, your circulation is down, you got to step out and as if you were going somewhere in a hurry.
Did you ever guard any Bolshevik prisoners?
Yes, plenty.
Did you ever talk
that
to them?
Was part of our guard duty operation. Uh-huh. Yes, and on one assignment of the, it was my buddy and I again.
The one who had the flu before?
Yeah, no, beg your pardon. There were only a few of us guards, but we had quite a young army of prisoners to guard. And when we went to check in at the prison, these were civilian prisoners.
What kind of civilians? Were they factory workers or residents?
They were just people who had gotten in trouble of one way or another, and were rationed out for doing any ordinary work. And so we had to guard them. And one day we were missing a couple. That put us on, we were court-martialed, so to speak, for having allowed prisoners to get out of our system, out of our assignment. And we were hauled in on the carpet. The officer, I don't know what grade officer it was, but he was in charge of the court-martial, and we all we could do is explain that we had such and such a number of prisoners, and there were only this two or three of us to guard them. And he said the charge was dismissed on that ground.
Oh, that's good. So, did you ever talk to any of those prisoners? Were they actually Bolsheviks that had been arrested because they were?
You almost got acquainted with some of them. Yeah. One we used to call by name. He was a big jolly fellow, and we'd march him down the street to the work or back to the prison with a count of us, dva, tri, četiri, us. Два, три, четыре. That's the same count. They're Russian. In Russian.
So, yes,
we were in conversation with. You mean the prisoners themselves?
Yeah.
It was a kind of a freelance thing, but we. We never, they never created a problem that I recall. The only one being that was two getting away from us.
Were these prisoners captured at the front, or Bolsheviks who were arrested in the city?
I don't know that they have had any relationship with the Bolsheviks at all. Of course, this Bolshevism is something that was just sweeping the land, and a lot of the citizens of Archangel were of the Jewish, especially the Jewish people, had come up from the south to avoid being part of that Russian, the Bolshevik party, mm-hmm. And so they were there.
Who were these prisoners?
Who were the prisoners?
Mm-hmm.
They were civilians called in for probably stealing thing and another. Just as far as I knew, had nothing to do with the army. But they were very willing workers. The habit.
They were put to work for the Allies?
Do you have any idea why the Americans were guarding prisoners there that didn't have anything to do with the military?
Well, to be really accurate on this, I wouldn't say that I could absolutely that they were had nothing to do with the military, but they certainly didn't act or look it, and that's as far as I really knew. But to my knowledge, they were just civilian prisoners out of the prison where we went to get them. Now, is there a doubt as to the feasibility of their?
I just wondered why foreign soldiers would be guarding civilian prisoners of another country like that. It just seemed kind of curious.
Well, it was a convenience, certainly. They got a lot of work done, and I imagine the prisoners themselves rather be out doing something than sitting in a prison.
Yeah.
It gave them a chance to see part of the city.
Okay. Another question I had, were the British in control of the prisons, then in Archangel, all the prisons?
I wouldn't know.
I have no idea. How about the prisoners that you guarded? Were the British ultimately in control of that?
Not that I know of. It's all, you're speaking of things that were over our heads.
Uh-huh.
See, we were just privates operating according to instructions.
You were given orders from a major or a lieutenant or a captain, right?
We took orders from our captain.
From your captain. Did you know where those orders were coming down from?
No.
So you didn't know if they were from America or from England?
Colonel
or?
Stewart was in charge of the, as the highest American officer.
I have one more question about the prisoners. How did you say they were treated?
How they were treated?
Yeah.
Well, we just marched them along as long as they marched along. There was nothing to do but to...
But when you talked to them, they never said anything.
You
they
what?
They never complained about their treatment when you talked to
no.
them.
No.
Okay.
They were pretty hungry, I know.
You didn't get much to eat then, huh?
No. Some worked around the quarters, our company quarters, I remember. And we had a kind of an old a garbage barrel that had been a sort of... Is this all going in on that?
Mm-hmm.
The top, all you could see was the water and a sort of scum and so forth. And this one prisoner that we had a lot of conversation with scooped up the fish bones and things that were floating on top, put them in the pocket of his heavy coat, and doubtless for a lunch later.
He must have been hungry.
He probably was hungry.
Who was your commanding officer?
Who was what?
Your commanding officer.
Captain Taylor. Our company, headquarters company,
uh-huh.
Captain Taylor. I've got a picture of this whole regiment downstairs. Hmm. Framed. I'll hop down and get it if you want me to. Except that this is... Okay.
What do you remember about Captain Taylor?
Well, he was a very nice fellow. I never had a whole lot to do with him directly, but he seemed to be a very good captain for what I saw of him.
How about your platoon? Was that headed by a lieutenant?
Yes.
What was his name?
Wait a minute. Yeah, I'm afraid I won't remember his name. Lieutenant.
What do you remember about Colonel Stewart?
I didn't see him.
You never saw him?
Well, I possibly did. I was thinking that an incident that relative to my, what do you call him, lieutenant?
Yeah.
Yeah, the lieutenant of the our outfit. What was it?
Was his name Keith by any chance?
Hmm?
Keith? Lieutenant Keith?
Keith. That name is familiar, but this wasn't his name.
Uh-huh.
But he, at camp, the first night we got down to Custer, he came along and I was sitting second in from the aisle, and I was rather enjoying it, even though it was late at night and so forth, but we were all assembled in this big shelter. Well, it was a barracks, but it was a big hall. Anyhow, he came along and looked at me and he said, "What do you do in civilian life, or what did you do?" And I said, "Oh, I taught shop." He says, "Come with me." And that was the ups. And so I followed him down the aisle. And he said, "You're with this boy." And next thing I heard was, "You're with a good outfit," and something to that effect.
How many men were in the Pioneer Platoon?
Pioneer Platoon.
About how many men were in there?
What?
How about how many men?
Probably a couple of dozen.
Oh, that's all? Huh. It was pretty small.
Okay. Might have been more than that, but I don't know. Two or three dozen.
Did you ever see General Ironside, the British general?
If I did, I saw a lot of... If I didn't, I saw a lot that walked and looked like him. The British are quite aristocratic, and they're there's a wide space between officers and men there. And of course, there is and should be in any outfit to some extent, but the officers have to have carry their authority and so forth, as you know. Anyhow, I don't know as I ever saw General Ironside.
Did you ever have any contact with Major Young?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not directly, but...
Oh, was he an archangel? Was he there when you were called on the carpet?
Called me on the carpet?
Yeah, was he the one there? I forgot.
No, I don't... Not yet, not Major Young.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But I was with a fellow that was his orderly. And the story was that even in the depth of the forests of Russia, he had to walk, 6 paces behind him, and so forth.
I take it this orderly didn't think much about it, Major Young.
When we got on board our homeward bound ship, we were ordered to our quarters to get settled out, when actually the President of the United States, President Wilson, had just boarded his yacht to go out to the Mayflower, which stood at anchor in Brest Harbor, and in which we, instead of being at our quarters, we were standing at salute on deck and watched the procedure. And Major Young had given this order, and he evidently was at odds with the captain, and the captain thrashed that out pretty briefly by saying, "These boys are on their homeward bound ship, and I'm in command."
Somebody told him. I mean, why did you go to Archangel?
You've had other stories, I suppose.
I've read some about him in war.
I heard this gossip. I just want to not repeat this because I wasn't at the convention, and I
turned. Can't prove it.